Order here. And first item up is the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All righty. Next item up is going to be item number 10. Jerry Honay, would you come forward, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Story County, also on behalf of myself, this is in recognition of 22 plus years of great service for Story County to my assistant, Geraldine Honay. The resolution reads, whereas Jerry A. Honay has served Story County for 22 plus years from February 11, 1981 to November 15, 2013. Whereas Jerry A. Honay has served the residents of Story County with dedication and passion, and whereas Jerry A. Honay has performed all various job functions with distinction and class, earning the respect of her peers both locally and statewide. And whereas Jerry A. Honay, in the performance of her duties within the Comptroller's Department, provided that office with professional and accurate information. And whereas the Comptroller will be forever thankful for Jerry's work and ever inspiring attitude and friendship. Therefore, it be known to all present that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County do hereby resolve, commend, and honor Jerry A. Honay for exemplary service to the people of Story County this 19th day of November 2013.
Congratulations. Yep, Jerry, some of us were just small children when you started here. I know you got to get out of here pretty quick,
yeah,
so I pulled you up there. Okay, next item up is going to...
It's actually ODOT to approve that resolution, so you might call for public
comment. Oh, we have to...
public comment.
Public comment. That's a vote item. Any public comment on it? All right. Motion to approve that resolution, then.
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of resolution for Geraldine Honay.
Okay.
Second the motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. Item number three is going to be discussion action on the today's agenda. Any of you gentlemen have any changes?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I'm going to move a couple of things around here, but it won't make a lot of difference. Any public changes on the agenda? Dale, come on up.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I asked to be put on the agenda in writing to the clerk treasurer, and I didn't get any feedback, and I got an agenda now, and it shows that I'm stuck over here, agenda request from Dale Beach, no action, no public comment. And Nicole Brad has been allowed to be on here for a topic of her choice, and I think my civil rights are being stamped on because I don't get the same treatment. I think she's got a public, or personal, she's got a right just like everybody does. And I don't think the city county manager has the authority to decide what I get to say and what I don't get to say. I want the same rights as everybody else.
Okay. Thank you. Mark, come on up.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. It's Tuesday morning, the 19th of November, 2013. This is discussion before the approval of today's agenda. And I'm asking the commissioners to please consider amending the agenda, in particular, agenda item number 12. If you read this carefully, it says approval of Story County audited financial statements, when in reality, what you're supposed to be considering today on that item is possible approval of the independent auditor's report. See, we're not approving audited financial statements.
We can't
today. We're approving
changes on there at this point in time.
Oh, you sure can. You can come back a month from now and amend your minutes. Sure. I'm hoping you do it now.
Thank you for your comment.
Intentionally drafted to confuse and mislead the public, and it's a violation of open meeting law.
And any other
I'm writing it up as we
speak. Toby, come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Toby Witten on behalf of the Story County Assessor's Office. We have a resolution under the consent agenda, item number 6. I would just ask that the resolution number be corrected to reflect the resolution number presented in the packet, which is resolution 13-386.
386?
Yes.
Instead of 362?
Yes, sir.
386. Okay, so noted.
Thank you.
Anything else on there? All right, motion to approve.
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the agenda for today's date, November 19th, 2013.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, item 4 is approval of minutes for August the 6th. Mark, come on up.
Thanks again, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips for the record. This is discussion before the approval of the minutes of the 6th of August. The easy one here is page number 1. At the bottom of the page, it's got my public comment. Resident addresses concerns regarding agenda item number 10. Item does not meet clear and complete standard. The amount of the voucher is not reflected, nor the re-aiming balance, the remaining. I think it should be remaining balance, please. And the most important, okay, if we go to page number 3, and we go to the top of the page for discussion, possible action, appointment of member to Virginia City Convention and Tourism Commission, VCCTC. That's a new one. And also, that should be agenda item number 5. I think it would be proper to include that, put number 5 on that. And then we go to the next agenda item, which is not numbered in the minutes, approval of liquor license, first reading for VCTC. So now we got VCCTC, and then right after that we got a motion for VCTC. Both those motions were made by Vice Chairman McBride. I'm hoping you could straighten the name of the County Fair and Rec Board out for the record. If you approve this, it's just evidence that the name is still undetermined, I guess, for Fair and Rec Board. Thank you.
Any other comments on the minutes? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I might inject a staff, Mr. Phillips is correct on the item one.
He is.
Reaming should be remaining balance. I'll remain mostly silent on the initial oversight in putting on the agenda exactly what that four possible action is when it was for appointment of a member to the Virginia City Convention and Tourism Commission. That was placed on the agenda that way. That's why it's reflected in the minutes that way. Mm-hmm. I would just suggest to you throughout all the true minutes that were taken, almost one page in length, it is consistently referred to as either the Virginia City Tourism Commission or the VCTC, which is its legal appropriate name.
Yeah.
So I would say no corrections to that.
No corrections to that. Okay. So motion to approve with those corrections.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the minutes with the stated corrections.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, consent agenda. Any comments, questions on consent? Hearing none.
Your motion to approve as corrected.
Yeah, and we will be a motion then to approve as corrected on that resolution.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the consent agenda with corrections. Okay, already made.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All righty. So that's going to put us down. I'm going to move item 11 up ahead of staff reports. Bob, you want to come on up? And I know you guys got to get out of here. And,
thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. My name is Bob Sater. I'm legal counsel for the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, which is the master developer of Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You all are familiar with SB 272 from the 2013 session. You took a formal position of neutrality on the bill during its consideration by the legislature.
Bob?
Yes, sir.
If I may interrupt for just a minute. Regarding this item, I'd like to disclose that I am a principal. I'm an exclusive broker for the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Land owned by TRI could be affected by the future of county action, taken or not taken, under and pursuant to SB 272. Although at this stage the agenda simply asks for authority and direction to county staff to proceed with directions and discussions with Washoe County and prepare recommendations for future action, in the abundance of caution, I'm going to recuse myself on this agenda item and join the audience.
Thank you. When SB 272 passed, it contained, it's a bill relating to boundary line changes between Story County and Washoe County. Two particular specified changes. One of them was a change from Washoe County to Story County of approximately 600 acres. Most of that land is owned by Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We supported the bill, that is, TRI supported the bill, and we support its implementation. The bill has a rather unusual set of provisions relating to how the boundary line change is triggered. It doesn't just, by state law, enact the change. It provides that the county commissions of both Story County and Washoe County must approve by resolution the change before it will be enacted. So it requires action by both counties, and therefore I believe it requires consideration, a recommendation, and either an action of denial or approval of the matter by Story County and by Washoe County. Now that process in my view, anticipates that your staff do some work on this and be authorized to do so, to discuss this matter with their counterparts in Washoe County, and make a determination on your behalf as staff whether or not it's advisable and it's feasible to make this boundary line change. TRI believes it's in our best interests for the boundary line change to take place, but we certainly understand that the county has the need to decide whether it's in your best interest, and Story County the same way. So the purpose of the request today is to request that you authorize, you request the district attorney and authorize your staff to enter into discussions with Washoe County on the feasibility of implementing SB 272 strictly for the area involving Tahoe Reno Industrial Center.
Very good. What was I going to ask? Have you, what kind of response have you been getting out of the Washoe County side at this point, just out of curiosity?
There have been discussions with each of the Washoe County commissioners and some of the senior staff. There have been no decisions, concrete issues discussed, but a general discussion has led us to believe that it may be possible that both counties will approve this. If we had felt that the bill was dead on arrival, I wouldn't be here. But our initial discussions suggest that the two counties may have areas of interest that can coincide so that both commissions would approve this. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is to see if staff can hammer out a recommendation for you that that gains approval of both counties.
Mr. Chairman, if I might clarify and emphasize a few of Mr. Sater's comments, both in his letter. SB 272 was unique in many ways. One of the things I want to point out is there are two separate and distinctly independent areas. As Mr. Sater mentioned, the area identified in Section 1.5 of SB 272 is the area of interest that pertains to his request and to TRI's request. So specifically, we are not implementing all of 272. We are staffing and legally researching through the respective district attorney offices, should Washoe County wish to, the feasibility of only Section 1.5 at this stage, which is the tract parcel.
Correct. So
nothing to do with any other parcels.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up, because that's been, I think, a point of confusion to a lot of folks, that although it was one bill, it's two separate issues on the boundary line motions and things like that. Do you have any, anyone else have any comments?
I just want to emphasize again, because we went out to the Highlands and discussed the impending new master plan, and a number of people talked to me about this bill, and I know it's been said twice, but I think it needs to be said three times. The land that's the subject of a potential boundary change in the Highlands is in no way linked to the boundary change down on the river. And a bunch of people came up to me and said, Commissioner Gilman wants this to go through as far as the Highlands go so that he can get the land down by the river. They are not together at all. They're two separate considerations. And in fact, from what I can tell at least, there's a likelihood that the boundary change may take place down by the river. The boundary change up by the Highlands doesn't have nearly as good a chance, I don't believe, just from what I've heard to this point in time. And there's a lot more going to be done in terms of considering the boundary change in the Highlands than has even, that process has hardly even begun. this process of the boundary change down by the river is moving forward, and I don't know how quickly it'll take place if it does at all, but again, for about the fourth or fifth time, they're not linked at all. So I just want to make that absolutely clear.
And in fact, if you follow the recommended motion in the staff report, staff has no authorization, and you're not requesting your district attorney to make any effort, research, or work towards section 1.0, which is the Highlands piece, the Sunny Hills piece.
And that's because they're not linked for the sixth time.
Mr. Chairman, I want to clarify, too, that Tahoe Reno Industrial Center has no interest in the section 1 land, the land up near the Highlands. We don't own any of that land. We have no position whatsoever on whether that is a good or a bad idea for Story County.
Thank you, Bob. From the audience, any? Nicole, come on up. I want to make sure that everyone understands what we're doing here.
Nicole Bard, Highlands resident. In reading the packet this week, I see in there as part of the description that it has a proviso whereby there would be either a documented agreement or an interlocal. I would like for us to be able to see that agreement before you agree to it, as opposed to signing it first and then bringing it into here.
Any interlocal agreement would have to be approved by the commission at a meeting before it could be signed.
Not true.
The
interlocal with the rail commission was signed May 20th. You didn't approve it till June 1st. So based on that track record, I'm making a public request that you put that interlocal out far enough in advance for us to be able to understand what the horse trading is. That's all. Thank you.
As long as I'm DA, any interlocal agreement would be brought for the commission at, and
yeah,
approved before
I've never,
it's signed.
Never heard of an interlocal not being approved by anyone else. All righty. You have the prepared.
I do.
Mr. Chairman, as soon as I get to it here.
Mr. Chairman, at this time, move to request that the district attorney and the staff to contact and discuss with their counterparts in Washoe County the advisability and feasibility of implementing the boundary line change between counties provided in Section 1.5 of Senate Bill 272 of the 2013 session of the Nevada State Legislature, with the intent that Story County representatives report back to the Commission with a recommendation on approval or disapproval on any terms, conditions, or agreements advisable or necessary.
Okay, I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you,
Bob.
Thank
you, Bob.
Okay.
Okay, staff, let's see. Let me look around the room here. Sean, come on up.
Good morning, Sean Griffin. I have some good news for you. At our core fundraising event for the library a week ago Friday night, we made about $10,000. We're up to $45,000 now with the Community Foundation of Western Nevada matching grant. We had over $15,000 before the event, which was the required match, you recall, which is huge. I want to thank the community. I want to thank everybody who's participated in trying to help us. I would like to come back to the commissioners before the December 31st deadline so that we can possibly talk about getting a little bit more. That will enable us to hire a librarian and a staff member, part-time staff member, to formally open the adult section. And if we need to rent space to do that, because as you know, we have virtually no space upstairs in the community center, we will do so. In the interim, if we continue to keep the children's book nook upstairs, We will have to do more work on the building to accommodate it for code purposes. So there's some urgency here, and I'm trying to avoid excessive costs in that region. Secondly, I want to thank District Attorney Maddox. The shelves that he ordered from Prison Industries were delivered and installed, and now all of the library is up on shelves for public use in our office. So the law library is officially open, and there are six computer stations for the public to access at any time they need to find it. So that's done. It's completed, and it's beautiful. Lastly, I've been meeting fairly extensively with four large donors to get the second phase finished. As I just said, there's some urgency to this meeting, these meetings, because the sooner we can finish the second phase, the sooner we can get the library in there, we can avoid making duplicate costs. And so I'm really pushing hard to get four foundations to come together to try to finish phase two. It's taking a lot of effort and my best used car salesman work. It's very difficult, but we're doing the best we can. I don't need to tell you this is a tough time to ask for that kind of money, but we're doing the best we can. So stay tuned. When I have some results, you'll be the first to hear about it. But mostly great news on the library, and I'm thrilled that everybody's been so supportive to get us where we are. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Denny.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Just a couple of quick things to report on. I know I've got a busy day. First of all, we were sent out with a task for the Nevada Day Parade to put something together for Story County, and I want to officially report back and close the book on it, if you will, and present the commissioners here with a plaque, our award.
Yeah, so, isn't that neat?
There you guys go.
Where are we going to display that?
That'd be up to you, Mr. Chairman. That's for all Story County. We had several folks, merchants, businesses, Comstock Mine. We had VCTC, other departments helped out, the fire department, the public works. So it's all of our awards. So wherever you see fit, we'd be happy to put it. And along those same lines, a lot of folks know that we're coming up on Christmas time here, and we are looking to do some fun and exciting things with Christmas on the Comstock, namely jazz up our parade a little bit, if you will. So this is a another call out, if you will. I'm looking for all floats, businesses, residents, companies, you name it. We need entries into the what I suspect, if we can pull this off, will be one of the best Christmas on the Comstock parades we've had in a long, long time. We're planning on starting at the Fourth Ward School, and we will finish it up with a big grand finale at the new North Portal Welcome Area past the gas station. So tie that in with breakfast with Father Christmas, kids' children's movies, whatnot, playing over at Piper's, Christmas in the Sierra concert, candy cane trains, going in, it's all corrugated on a master schedule that all fits where folks can come and spend the entire day and enjoy the Comstock in the way it was back in the late 1800s. But again, a call out to all department heads to bring vehicles, to bring floats, whatever we can do to show our Christmas spirit. Again, our plan is to start the Fourth Ward School. As the parade continues northbound, it'll be lit up as the parade proceeds. So we're going to coordinate with the entire town to light up as it goes through town and finish at the headframe, which will have a special treat for everybody. And then finally, we should have also a sign up at Mark Twain for the community center. I believe that got put up last week. There'll be a question as to what side we want to put that on. I've got the lettering so they can change it for their dates and different activities they have throughout the year. So that's it.
Good. Thank you. Jim,
a quick comment announcement, if I may, regarding the Christmas parade.
Yes.
We're going to put an ad in the paper, or at least an advisory, that I have a tow truck, a driver, and a 40-foot parade trailer, a float trailer, and with a base, and I would like to donate that to whatever group or agency would apply to you. and if they would like to use that float, decorate it, put it at the Christmas parade, we have it available to deliver to point of design, and to whomever might contact you and request use of that.
Absolutely. You're, contact me, contact Karen Woodmansee, come by the visitor center, let's get you signed up, show up, and let's show the region what we can do for Christmas.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Question?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You haven't been to see it.
Joe, you got anything for us?
Just, Mr. Chairman, just
got to get it on the... The old days are gone.
That's almost, I almost take exception to that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a kind of a reminder from the emergency management standpoint, we're continuing to make our plans and pursue the project of the functional evacuation exercise in May of next year for the Highlands. We have Red Cross, we have that's involved in it, Washoe County people, Nevada Highway Patrol, all of our local services and so forth. So that's still moving forward, and so far we've been lucky this year and not had any major problems. That's about it. Thank you.
Sherry?
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Jim?
Okay.
Gary.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, honorable board members. I just have three things to bring up this morning. One is we've begun working with the USDA only on looking at paperwork for financing of replacement of our structure engines, which we discussed last fiscal year. We're having significant problems, primarily with the engine out in the Highlands, and I wanted to publicly thank Central Lyon County. They've been nice enough to loan us their reserve engine. Ours seems to break about every other week or so, overheating problems. And you're going to hear probably a common theme this morning, along with breakdowns. We're having significant breakdowns with our ambulances. I'm in communication with the county manager and the comptroller. We're currently wrapping up a grant, assistance to firefighter grant through FEMA. 25% of their millions of dollars of money in grants is allowed to be put in for equipment replacement. So we're asking to re-chassis three of our ambulances. As you'll recall, we purchased those out of plan review fees in 2006, and they're all the exact same model year with the exact same engine. And that's what we're finding problems with is turbos, EGRs, emission controls. We're averaging at least an ambulance broken down in the shop every single week. So I just want to give you a heads up on that we are looking and pursuing grants. Will we be successful? Who knows? But we did have an ambulance breakdown, and it sounds kind of silly, but literally coast into a hospital about 2.5 weeks ago with a very sick patient in the back. So this is becoming critically important to us. I'll keep you informed as I move forward. And I don't know the fix. There's some national class action lawsuits with that 6.0 engine. Unfortunately, none of them include ambulances, only private citizens. When we contacted them about the class action lawsuits years ago, they did extend, kindly of them, to extend our warranty by another year, which has since expired. So we are chasing down every loop that we can find and try to close that, but it's difficult with ambulances right now. And the last thing I had was, next month we'll be bringing forward, actually January, the first meeting in January, we'll be bringing forward an agreement, updated agreement, for a MOU with the Virginia City Highlands Property Owners Association. As you'll recall, we have a fuels grant to work in their right-of-ways and easements out in the Highlands, so we've met with them, very receptive. There is a, I believe, almost entirely new board seated out there, with the exception of Jim, possibly. Jim's been out there 100 years. Very receptive to these ideas, great board to work with, very promising, so I look forward to working with them in the future and bringing that forward. And if there's no questions, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Austin.
Chairman, Commissioners, thank you. I just have a couple items. I want to remind you and the public,
that this Thursday, the 21st, the Planning Commission will have another workshop for the master plan. We're going to hold that over at the fire station here in Virginia City at the Station 1 Training Center right on C Street. Everybody in the public is encouraged to come, and this will be a meeting where we're probably not going to do much presenting, but we'll do more discussion on what people want for the county as far as population, transportation, economic development, business on C Street, redevelopment of Virginia City and Gold Hill, and any items that anybody is interested in regarding countywide. Also, this Friday, what Rogers has informed me and confirmed to me that they will hold their first workshop in the Highlands Fire Station for the Sunny Hills Project. I don't know what their agenda is. I don't know exactly what they're planning on discussing, but obviously it's going to be whatever they plan on doing for their road shows. This is a private entity doing this. This is not sponsored by the county, but I want to let you know and the public know that that'll take place Friday the 22nd, this Friday at 6 o'clock in the Highlands. And I also want to let the public know there's potential for a quorum of either Planning Commission or the County Commission at that meeting just for, you know, listening and learning.
I saw some folks working with some hemp rope earlier in the week. I don't know if there was a connection or not. It's just an observation.
So the next thing is the Planning Commission. We do this every year. It's become a tradition. If the public would like to get to know its Planning Commission without a board member type of setting, every year we have a Christmas holiday party at our office. We're going to hold it right downstairs. It'll be in the hallway. It'll kind of be informal. There will be food and, you know, real heavy kind of hors d'oeuvre type of food. And it's really an informal chance for anybody to meet with their planning commissioners and discuss concerns or just, you know, just get to know who they are. There's seven members. They come from each of our communities in Story County, and that will take place this December 19th. And we are so far probably at 6 o'clock at the normal planned time. But at the next Planning Commission, I'm going to ask if they would be able to hold that meeting at 5 o'clock or 5:30 just to lessen the gap between people getting off work. We'd like county employees to be able to come and all that and make it a little more accessible. And that is it. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeffrey, you got anything?
Thank you. Just a few things to update you on. First, sign code enforcement. Austin and I have done two complete sweeps through C Street. Some of the situations, as you can imagine, aren't cut and dry, but we're doing our best. Then Austin mentioned the master plan workshop. Next, Bob and I have been working on the lot consolidation ordinance, and we hope to bring that to you in January. And finally, let's see, the planning team has been trying to abate some of the nuisances and bring some code violations into compliance. If you have any specific questions or need to know any details about those, don't hesitate to stop into my office. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike?
Good morning, members of the commission. Just a couple items today from Public Works. Item one, I know I've beaten this to death with NV Energy on the street lights in the Lockwood area near the park there, but we've got some progress to report at this meeting. The application that we submitted was approved. It has been executed by the county and NV Energy. They estimate cost of about $4,500 for four lights. I did inquire after receiving the signed executed agreement last week what the time frame may be for install of the lights, and they say it could happen as early as this week, so we'll wait and see. So that's some positive news. With any luck, we hope so. The second item, just to report briefly, the ARB, that's the air release valve project on the water line and the siphon from Lakeview to Virginia City is about 90% complete. The weather has been cooperating thus far. There were some delays on the siphon site getting some of the pieces of equipment and materials. I was out there yesterday when the contractor installed the final air release assembly on that side, and it's progressing nicely. I did want to mention that the siphon itself was shut down for a period of 6 days, and we don't recall in recent history of a shutdown lasting that long, even when they had the leak on the freeway down there. With everybody's cooperation and conserving, we made it through that period, although we did drop the level in 5 mile tank down to about a foot of water, but we were able to limp it through. And just as a side note, it was interesting to note that the assemblies that were installed from the 5 mile reservoir into Virginia City, we were shut down for a couple of days. When we fired that line back up, within an hour, we had water flowing back into the bullion tank in town, where without those, in the past, when we've experienced problems and shutdowns, we've waited sometimes as long as a day or longer to see water return to town. So they do make a huge difference. So I verified that it was worth the expense. So just to kind of give you an update on that, and then hopefully by the next meeting, the contract will be 100% complete. It's gone well, so if you have any questions.
A quick thought about that, Mike, and for sake of starting some discussion. It's noted out of TRI that we have some flood piping that's pretty well filled with debris that right. may be substandard in operation if we get some winter storms here coming. And so I'd like to at least point out the fact that we might want to talk about how we might implement that. The other thing is there's quite a lot of visual erosion on USA Parkway due to the truck traffic and the general use. But it would seem like we might want to start some discussions on surface or resurfacing in some areas. It's deteriorated to the point that we're going to lose a lot of that road surface. And, of course, the cracking you're well aware of and handling. But I'd just like to point out that winter's here, and it might be advisable to start thinking about how we could.
Yeah, I know the section on USA Parkway, specifically from Waltham Way up to at least Italy. You know, is it
exactly the hill climb?
Yeah,
where the trucks are digging. Yeah, no question about that. Yeah. But quite a lot of surface erosion. Yeah, the show.
And we did meet with a few folks. God, it's been a month or longer regarding some of those issues with the culvert. And Vince Griffith was going to make some contact with a couple of contractors to see what. Might be the fix for getting those blockages removed from those culverts, specifically the ones up on Portofino. So I'm aware of them.
Yes, sir. You and I could perhaps meet after meeting on
sure.
some of that. I have a little feedback on the
Great.
On the contract.
Cool. You betcha.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have to leave for a few minutes. I have a criminal case that I need to do a telephonic conference on with the clerk, so I'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay.
Do you
have any
comments?
Sure. Hugh?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to defer till the next
action. Okay. Sheriff?
Just a couple things. Last Friday, we graduated two reserves from the State Police Academy. So there'll be a couple of new faces floating around, two fine young men, Brandon Azevedo. He's in the Guard. Might not see too much of him. There's a chance he may be getting deployed in the near future. The other young man, Jeff Young, is the son of the coach down at the high school. Both of them did exceptionally well in the academy, so we'll have them in their field training and hopefully have them out and about great thing about the reserves is, other than outfitting them with their equipment, they don't cost us anything. It's all time that allows the deputies to do other stuff or helps out with event planning. So the other thing I have, wanted to inform you too, to thank Sean Griffin. Myself, Sergeant Tony Dozen, and Sergeant Melanie Keener recently attended some training that Sean was gracious enough to let us know about on mental health issues and people in crisis, doing some interventions there. It was some exceptional training that we hope to get some more of our folks trained in, and got a great working relationship with folks over at Community Chest, and think this is just moving that to the next level and providing for the needs of our community. So,
cool. Thank you, sir.
Anything from the clerk? Nothing? Pat?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Three quick things. One is, Austin mentioned the private party organized what I'll call the Sunny Hills pitch on this coming Friday. We will be posting a possible quorum, assuming that two or more of you may wish to attend. Staff's going to attend, but again, my coaching and counseling is, you know, we should talk to our folks after the meeting, and we're not really sanctioning or participating in this in any way. So I'll work with Dory and Vanessa on a quorum notice. I want to clarify something that Nicole said so that the record's clear. She mentioned, you know, approval of an interlocal agreement with the Rail Commission. And while the Rail Commission did approve it on May 20th, and I don't have the date, Nicole, I believe you may have said June 2nd or sometime in early June, that's normal standard procedure. An interlocal agreement is just that. It's an agreement between two local governments by statute. In this case, what happened is what frequently happens, and sometimes when there's multiple local governments, such as four fire departments or other organizations, fire districts, excuse me, you know, you get the Rail Commission met on May 20th and they approved theirs, then we meet, you know, subsequent to that on June 2nd, June 3rd, whatever that date is. That agreement, and I wish Mr. Maddox had been able to stay to confirm this, but I can tell you assuredly we followed normal protocol, and that agreement is not binding or legal until all local governments have approved it that are participating in that. So, and then I just want to remind everybody, this will be the last time you get this reminder from me, although we are going to put it out on our social media sites. December 6th is the annual county Christmas party. The beverage service starts at 5 p.m. and dinner will be served sometime around 6. It is at Piper's Opera House, and it is an open invitation. Please don't wait for your paper invitation. There were a few repetitive people that come, such as the judges and a few folks that are getting email invitations, but you don't need an invitation. Your invitation includes the opportunity to bring other people with you that may not know about it. It is meant to be a party for the people of Story County that the commission hosts and those that do business with Story County on a regular basis, such as our vendors. So, that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, moving right along here. Let's see. We got staff, Jerry, we got Bob. Okay. We are down to item number 12, approval of Story County audit, and et cetera, et cetera. So come on up, Mr. Hughes.
Chairman, members of the Commission, my name is Hugh Gallagher. I am representing the Comptroller's Office and have the Story County Comptroller. Before I go into the Auditor's Report, I want to reflect a comment. A phone call I got yesterday from a Department of Taxation analyst, Susan Lewis. Susan Lewis' conversation with myself represented some comments that were made before the Local Government Finance Committee on November 15th by three of our residents, at least, for which possibly they said that I have had the statements since September 7th or 6th of this year that I've been, frankly, been hoarding the statements, and then I'm, for the most part, out of compliance with the Nevada Revised Statutes. I'm here to tell you that I am not, and I will so demonstrate. As you look at your financial statement, on page one, and I'm sorry to do this, but we went through the same thing last year, and, but I want to say this, that in the opinions, Pringle CPA said, in our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly, in all material respects, the respective financial position of the government activities, the business type activities, the aggregate discreetly presented component units, respective changes for each major fund, and the aggregate remaining fund information of Story County, Nevada, as of June 30, 2013, and respective changes in financial position, and where applicable, cash flows, therefore, for then the year ended in accordance with accounting principles generally accepted in the United States of America. It's important. And materially reflects is what the statement is. If you look at page two, and this is where the fund begins, you'll notice that David A. Pringle, CPA, LTD, signed this document on September 6th of 2013. Now, there seems to be some confusion between this date and the proposed confirmation from the commissioners here today. The September date represents the date David A. Pringle, CPA, concluded the field work pertaining to the financial statements, to this audit. This date represents the last date employees of Pringle CPA were on site performing various audits. The significant part of this date is that if anything material occurred after this date to materially affect the current financial statement presentation and Pringle CPA had knowledge of this representation, they would have to investigate the material difference and therefore change the date to the second departure. So what happens is they've done their field work as of September 6th. They go back, they perform all of the stuff they do for the presentation of the financial statements. We were given the financial statements probably 2 weeks ago, and in accordance with all the NRSs, we seem, at least to this point, be in compliance. For example, 354-624 audit report. The local government may provide for more, except as otherwise provided in Section 2, each annual audit must be concluded and the report of the audit submitted to the governing body as provided in some Section 6 no later than 5 months after the close of the fiscal year for which the audit is conducted. November 30th would be 5 months. So we're in compliance with this. The other thing that was mentioned was that within 30 days after the governing body shall report its assent of the department's plan or request a hearing before the Department of Taxation, this hearing must be held at the next meeting of the commission, but not before 90 days after such request is received. This is NRS 354-6245. So after 30 days, for the most part, after you affirm this, I've got to come back with my recommendations on current and prior year's recommendations to you for a plan that says this is what we're going to submit to the Department of Taxation, and we will do that. So I'm sorry to take up this time, but it's important because the discussion that was made before the Committee on Local Government Finance last Friday was, I believe, an error. That has been corrected. I have told Susan Lewis that, and she is fine with that. Now, some highlights from the 2013 year. In the general fund, revenues were $329,774 over budget. Now, this may seem to be, it's a fairly decent increase in our revenues compared to 2012, where we were about $189,000 over budget. But there's one specific fact here that I would like everybody to notice. Ad valorem taxes were down $161,000, almost $162,000 from the previous year. Ad valorem has been dropping at a succeeding rate each and every year. We made that up basically because sales tax, basic CCRT, and the supplemental tax, motor vehicle privilege taxes, and real property transfer taxes were up about $50,000. Gaming license fees over budget were $137,000. This is kind of a misnomer because it was not budgeted at that point in time. I'm not sure if that was an oversight. It was probably an oversight. It happened this year. We did budget it for this year. On the other side is what we have is penalties from back taxes and whatever was about $126,000. So that gives us a little spotlight of where we are on the budget over where our expenditures were over budget. For expenses, we were $707,000 under budget in expenses, as compared to $486,000 year before under budget. This is in the general, and remind us, and I'll remind you that we have made a concerted effort. Pat has, as county manager, has been and made a concerted effort within the last, since I've been here, to make sure that the general does not pay for any of those other special revenue funds expenditures. We've tried to do a good job with this. Sometimes it's so voluminous, it's pretty much immaterial, and we grab it as a whole. But we've been trying to do this thing every year. And so on the expenditure side, I think all departments involved have done a tremendous job with what they're doing. Of course, 85% of our, 90% of our stuff is salary and benefits. We can't do anything about that. But we are trying diligently to do that. We have three union contracts that we must abide by. And so I think that Pat and staff and pretty much all the department heads have tried diligently to do that. Sometimes it doesn't happen, but it's not without effort. That's for darn sure. As we look at ad valorem, our ad valorem taxes this year in the general were about $7.8 million, and last year was about $8.1 million. So we lost about $120,000. Overall, there seems to be a reduction, as I mentioned, in sales tax. And and where the differences are, the difference between, for example, the industrial park from 2010 2011 was a downturn of about $65,000, and from 2011 to 2012 was about $475,000. So values are decreasing. Okay, caps are being eroded on all of this, the 8 years especially out there. Yep. The Canyon GID, which is Lockwood Rainbow Bend, was down $92,000. So we have to pay particular attention to all of these things, when we look at, go through the 2014-15 budget year to make sure we try and get as accurate as we can. Because, you know, ad valorem is a fairly big part, but just watching it and seeing it grow, hopefully revenues will pick up, assessed valuations will be picking up, so that we can sustain our ability. But we, I think, in my opinion, we are doing very well on that side. Other than, and I was going to address the other special revenue funds, and the other major component funds of roads, fire, and all of those are addressed mainly within the recommendations in the prior year's recommendations, and also the recommendations from the auditor for on current operations. And I would like to go through that. Because I think that's fairly important. I don't know if and I'll leave that for the comment from yourselves and others as to any specifics you want to know within the document. And I refer to you and those in the public to page 79 and 80 of the 2013 report. There are auditor's recommendations on auditor's report on prior year's recommendations, and Pringle CPA is here to answer any of your questions and certainly any of the public's questions on anything that's concerned here. But what we have is we have the first recommendation was we recommend the reconciliation of accounts and approval of write-offs within the fire department ambulance billings. This was kind of a concern, not only to the fire chief, but also to us, because we had an outside audit. We had an outside person doing all of the write-offs and whatever. We had found that this was not a good process at that time. We changed that midterm, and so consequently, the same comment appears on this year's, even though now it is corrected and is now in-house. We are then going to take those items, and I will look at the write-off recommendations, and I will approve them, and we'll do that pretty much on a semi-annual basis. The second one was we recommend expenditures be monitored to prevent exceeding appropriations. There were five revenue funds and three programs during 2012 that had expenses exceeding appropriations. And I'll make two comments on that. One is, first of all, the fire fund, because we did not have an avenue to account for all of those BLM fires that were outside of the county, the fire department had to absorb all of that. So consequently, what they were absorbing, what we were budgeting, was their normal operations without it. Because we didn't know if they were going to have one or if they were going to have 1,000. We could have easily said, well, let's bump this up by 25% and we won't have the comment. Well, I'm not a proponent of that. And so what we've done for this year is we have a mutual aid account to where all revenues and expenses appropriate to anything out of Story County is now accounted for in that special revenue fund, which now leaves Gary's fund to be done strictly for operations within Story County. And then he has the wildland fire fund, which is that for BLM fires with in regards to Story County. So we've pretty much, hopefully, this will be contained and not have that comment. The other comment was we recommend expenditures over $10,000 in a fire special revenue fund be approved by the county manager or comptroller. This was partially implemented as we have gone to any capital asset that is over $1,500 needs to be approved by Pat Whitten and myself prior to the purchase. This was an additional comment this year to include the jail fund. I conclude that we will take a look at this. We have got our October budget numbers in. If we need to adjust this to all items, we can do that. But they've been very diligent in trying to keep those expenses down to a minimum, because you know, they understand where we are and they understand the budget. And then number four, we recommend care should be taken in the assignment of account numbers prior to recording liabilities in accounting records. This was partially implemented during the current year. If there is something that comes up that doesn't apply to a certain account number and description, we are going to make sure that there is a new account number and a description, even though it's not budgeted for, because I would rather do that than aggregate that into some fund that it really doesn't make any sense in putting it in. So it's a fine process, but it's not a budgeted item. It is a single line item. And so consequently, we'll probably have these comments from year to year if these special events occur. And then there was one on we recommend reviewing account numbers and names in the federal state grant fund to further differentiate federal and grant revenues and expenditures. This was partially implemented in 2013. When we get a grant, a CBDG grant or whatever, which is a federal grant, sometimes those grants, even though they initiate on the federal side, end up on the state side, so it doesn't have a federal number. Now, we've understood this. We've been trying to get this right, continue to try and get this right. This year's same comment was because of some expenditure items that we probably didn't catch, but that we will review now all of these grant items pretty much on a semi-annual basis to see where we are, and certainly before the year end. We will make sure that all these items for what we call single audit for all the federal grants, federal and state grants, are there so that it makes it easier for Pringle CPA to go in and do their work. As we look at this current year's recommendations, we had about seven. And I've mentioned all of those prior before. And the ones that we didn't have is that we had one special revenue fund that had a deficit fund balance. We understood that that balance is being corrected as we speak. And so I think that as far as that, all of these comments that I will make to you on the current year's recommendations, I'm going to hopefully by the next meeting have all of that in place so that the corrective action will be there and that we'll be able to go forward with the plan. Other than that, if we have any more significant if you have comments or questions, I'll be happy to answer.
How about number 7 on page 80, Clark? You had some comments on the adjustments through either loans or transfers to both fire and jail. Did you want to comment on that?
We have two funds, which is the fire fund and the jail fund, which are in a which are in a negative cash balance position. My recommendation, I think, for you during your next meeting is to make a loan for that effect and have that either payable at the end of this current fiscal year, understanding, you know, we'll have a better understanding of where we are with the fire fund and the jail fund at that point in time. And then the other thing would be the negative ending fund balance in the jail fund, which I think is being eroded as we speak. Be more diligent that month to month, make sure that we know what's happening within that account, and making sure that anything that we've got going forward is approved, and just keep a very good eye on it. Don't know any other way to do it.
And I might add, since both the fire chief and the sheriff are here, this is through great effort on their part that these deficits are as small as they are. As our comptrollers mentioned at the opening statement, reflective of the general account, these two accounts are immensely dependent upon ad valorem. And with ad valorem dropping, it's going to impact. So it's a matter of now having to try to compensate for that. We're under a strong program with Gary's office in particular, our department. He performs many, many tasks for, like annual business inspections, for which there are no offsetting revenues whatsoever, yet he still has to do it. And that goes clear down to all the work that goes on by Patty Blakely and the Fireside House. I mean, there's an initial plan review fee, but it doesn't cover all anywhere near the work that gets done. So we're looking at that and studying that as we speak as well.
That's correct. Part of the priority budget concept is to take a look at each and every revenue item that we have and say, all right, what is ad valorem? What is its distribution? What is its current distribution? What is its maybe proposed distribution? Same thing with business licenses. Looking at nothing is going to stay hidden. We're going to say if there is inspection fees that we don't have that is mainly done by Gary's department, but the general gets it, then we're going to make an adjustment for that. We've got to make whatever effort that those departments make, or those special revenue funds, wherever their effort is, they should be rewarded for it by the revenue that's received. And so that's where we're going through every single revenue item. We're going to take a look at its description, take a look at why it's there in the first place, what its current distribution is, and recommended distributions in the future, in addition to going through all the fees and business licenses and permits and everything else, as we did last year, and make recommendations for possible increase in the 2014-2015 year. That's correct.
Do we anticipate these deficits to be balanced by the next two quarters of property tax collections, by the time we get to the end of our fiscal year? You're saying that we're in a deficit now, but we've only collected two quarters of property tax ad valorem. Right. We've got two to go. Are we going to come to a balanced budget on these accounts by the time we get to the end of our fiscal year, or are we still going to be in deficit on these two funds?
We would be in deficit because they're both budgeted for ongoing operations out of these accounts as we speak. The goal would be to either shrink the deficit and temporarily loan money to those two funds with some type of structured payback. There's statutory.
Because sometimes we have pay forward in the beginning, and you collect it, you end up catching up at the end, right?
Yeah, but at the end of June, we were deficit. And if you really look forward at the end of next June, we'll be in deficit again.
All right.
Until we land the big deals or back out at the industrial.
Okay.
Yeah,
do you have anything?
Yeah, I intend to include that in the motion. I appreciate Pugh's report. I'm going to be looking for a procedure that gives us quarterly for the commission. Since the commission approves a budget at the first of the year, we don't want to wait until the end of the year to find out where we are on line items. We don't want to wait until the end of the year to fix something that might be going forward. So I'm going to put forward in the motion that we have a review at least quarterly by the second meeting following the quarter so that we can look at line items. And one of the things I'd like to see there is I received recently, Hugh and I thank you, a voluminous report for the first quarter. But in order to review that for myself as a commissioner, I have to literally go through and do the math on every single line item to see if we're on budget, if we're over budget, or where we stand. And I'd prefer to see an implementation of a program so the commissioners would be advised at least quarterly. I prefer monthly, but at least in the beginning, review quarterly where we stand by department, by line item, on budget appropriations. We appropriate at the first of the year. We believe we know where we're going. If we're off track somewhere, I'd rather know it sooner than later. Yep. So we have a chance to address it. So I would intend to put that in the motion, that we follow a lot of these recommendations. We have a wonderful auditor, and I think they're doing a great job. They've done recommendations for 2 years in a row that I believe are pertinent, and I appreciate your approach to reviewing them. But I would like to implement an ongoing report. And rather than giving me this voluminous amount, I'd like to see by department which line items specifically are over budget. So we're not, we really should not be in a position where staff is moving funds from one line item to another to balance that department. I'd like to see where the department is by line item on budget and know where we are on an ongoing monthly or quarterly basis.
No, yeah, that won't happen, Mr. Commissioner, I'll tell you that. And part of the reason why we have those is there are, we don't budget for the unordinary. I mean, we're trying to get as ordinary as we can with revenues and expenditures and be able to tell the commissioners and the public those items that, you know, just came up because it came up. Part of it was the mitigation fund. There was a comment in there about them being $149,000 over budget. Well, that was sandbags for Lockwood, for the potential flood that we're going to have down there. Though that was not anticipated at all. And for us to say, well, we're going to put $500,000 in there, I think is I don't feel comfortable about that. I would rather explain to you why it happened than say then you not see it at all, and just have it put in there as a number. So, because on the reverse side, Pringle CPA, if we didn't have any of this, they would say, you are budgeting way too high in expenses over and above what your ordinary is. And you're probably going to be, you know, budgeting revenues lower than you are, which, you know, you get a clean report, but it doesn't give any continuity to what the financial representation is, especially in the budget side.
I really see our budget as a working document. I agree with that. And there's going to be anomalies that come up and special considerations that we have to get. But I would like to see the commission more involved on an early basis rather than late, old news basis, so that we're a part of the process and a part of the fixes, if you will, or the considerations that we have to take.
And Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, if I might add, I want to thank Rick, Catherine, Dave, everybody. The mission this year was that audit needs to be in hand, you know, sometime in October. And I even put out there that there were several smaller local government entities that always seemed to beat us to the punch. And as far as the agendas that I see from our counterparts out there, they are now getting to it in November, or we'll be looking at a possible exception in December, and I want to thank them. This audit includes the VCTC as a separate component. I'm not going to say this right. It's included in there. And I want to, again, thank them because this is a tough agency to audit, and this is they've kept their price fair and affordable throughout all the years, and you guys do a great job, so thank you, and you're great to work with.
Okay. Anything else from?
I'd like to follow on that comment. I thank David Franklin Group greatly. Yeah. You have monitored us through a number of years. You're well acquainted with our operations and our budgeting and the administration of our county, and I appreciate your oversight on that. And I also respect greatly your recommendations and believe that we need to take those under strong consideration. And thank you for your work on that effort. Mm-hmm. That
effort. Okay. Any comments, questions from the audience? Well, let's start in the back. Oh, please, go ahead. Come on up.
Yeah, I just have a My name's Rick Varchi. I'm a senior accountant and auditor for Dave Pringle CPA in Carson, and with offices in Carson and Reno. And one thing that I did want to point out to the commissioners is the fact that in the budget, there is a line item called contingencies. And it had in excess of $200,000 in it last year. And it come any time when something comes up that is, you know, out of the normal, that you can go in and move money from contingencies to any area that that it is needed in order to keep your budget in line. Mm-hmm. I say it's a substantial amount of money, but you can increase it, decrease it, or whatever on an annual basis when you file your budget.
Okay. Nicole?
Nicole Bard, Highlands resident. First, I'd like to say that I appreciate Lance's comments about doing this on a quarterly basis. It allows you, as he says, to be proactive. Thank you. I think that is the next evolution of improving the budget, which I think has improved the management of it in the last couple of years. So thank you for that. The questions I have are related, and you went through this, Hugh, but one question is, on your page 7, it indicates that on August 3rd, 2011, we issued $2 million worth of general obligation bonds for the rail. It said we received the bonds in December 2011. Isn't that 2010? Didn't we receive those funds in 2010?
I have to check, Nicole. It seemed to me like the rail bond issue came a lot later. It's totally separate of anything with the rail commission because these were ARRA monies, but I thought it was 11, but I don't know.
I've gone through the minutes, and I believe, and so I would say let's find out, that it was 2010, not 2011. I may be wrong, but that's what the minutes say. The other thing is that this says that the funds, i.e. the $2 million, were received. And yet when I look at that fund, in terms of the two bonds that are listed, they're 800 and something thousand. So my next question is, did we actually receive $2 million, or was it 1.7 something? Because this led me, as I looked at the audit, to go, where's the rest of the money? Mm. Okay, so that's an issue, that's a problem. The other thing is, what does retired mean? Because I see that in the bond interest schedule, that you've got debt service and you've got retired. We've gone from, let's assume it's 1.7 million. We've gone from 1.7 million, which is the money we received, on which we will continue to pay interest until it's paid off in 28, whatever. And then we now have a balance of 1.3-ish. Why are we retiring the funds that we're going to need in order, if we ever get to, build what we need to build? So that's one question. What does retired mean? Why are we paying off principal on a bond? The second question is, where does the interest come from? It seems to me, and I saw it in the back pages of the rail budget, that our debt service is about $178,000, and it's getting paid out of the rail fund. If the rail fund is a restricted fund where that money is supposed to only go for the construction of the railroad, not for salaries, not for this, not for the other, and yet we're paying the interest out of that fund, we're bringing our principal down for no, well, I wonder if that is not improper. I wonder why we're retiring a bond. I mean, I would rather have it make 2 cents in interest that we'll be getting as some offset for the interest that we're paying. Do you know?
That's
I have more.
I think it's, well,
The V&amp;T bond, once this is all over, we will still have that money in that account. We still have to pay for those bonds, which is the principal and interest. And so within that account, even though you're looking at it, if you're looking at the income statement, it will reflect that. If you look at the balance sheet statement of that, it will reflect that that's what we have. So retirement of the debt is really the principal and interest of what we have to pay within the income statement. And we still have the bond available in the balance sheet for when all of this stuff is paid over. We'll still have that money there to go ahead and do, hopefully when the bids come in, we'll be able to pay it. And we'll be able to pay without obligation.
That's how it works?
Yeah.
I mean, we're paying the bond with the bond money?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. The other question I have is...
Let everybody speak for 5 minutes or 3 minutes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, fine. Go ahead.
The other question I have is what other railroad funds are there? Reading back to 2009 to present in the minutes, there were several mentions in the 2010 and 2011 or 2011 and 2012 budgets that we had railroad funds in infrastructure and capital. At one point, it was stated that we had about $501,000 in capital, part of that for the tunnel. And so my question is, I can't tell by looking at this audit that we had integrity, and I don't mean that in terms of lie, cheating, and stealing. I'm just talking about integrity within that fund to know exactly how much money do we have to pay for what we are raising it for. That's all. I would suggest an audit of that fund.
Yeah. Any response on that, Hugh?
I think Nicole's questions are concerning with her discussion action no action item on the V&T in specific. As I look through the wherever the V&T thing is here, excuse me for six. This was a specific fund set up for that bond issue. And so subsequently, all the, as we're looking at either the balance sheet or the expense item, all of those appropriate expenditures or income that's coming from that is applicable to that fund. So I'm not sure, really sure where Nicole is coming with the fact that this is not audited, because it is. What I can do for the next commissioner's hearing is do a reconciliation of where the balance sheet and all the line items within the expense section of that fund are from beginning to wherever, and then see if that makes a scan on anybody.
Go ahead.
And I might clarify here, too, historic references from 2010, 2011 that referenced either the capital projects account, which is really a component of the general fund, or the infrastructure account, which is a separate statutory fund. Those references were more globally positioned to say, should we do the tunnel, which we were projecting at that time, and I don't want to get too far into item 14, but should we do the tunnel at projected expenses, the bond itself is not enough to cover. So there were references to other accounts. However, I might add, here we are in 2013 going into 14, and we've not done the tunnel. So I think a lot of that can be discussed in more detail pertinent to number 14. The infrastructure account in and of itself is an account that requires certain statutory planning. We're working with Mr. Morris and Hugh and the departments on what they see might be applicable in terms of needs to utilize that infrastructure fund. But that's interrelated to item 14 again, as far as, why we do and why we don't have a ton.
Perhaps the monies that you came across in your research was in reference to deposits with the Carson City Treasurer on monies collected already through the quarter cent sales tax ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they were referenced capital projects and infrastructure, those are wholly ours. But there could have been some reliance on that. We'll cover that in 48.
I think, Chairman, as a first-year commissioner, and this is historic business, I would appreciate you an overview, a historical background, so that I can read through and understand where we started, where we've been, where we're going, and be more conversant with the issue. So I would appreciate a recap, if you would.
Yeah. Do we have any other comments? Janet, come on up.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners and the audience. I'd like to, since I have, how many minutes do I have? Six? Ten? Well, I'd like to get some feedback on one first, Commissioner Lance mentioned about the quarterly report for the budgets and the actual expenses. Actually, there is a law already approved that is R05-12. It was approved by the legislation on December last year, 2012. So I have mentioned that to the Department of Taxation why this was not implemented. So I haven't heard from them at all. Now, the question on the audits I'm referring to is that I'd like to ask the auditor whether they have verified the authorized signatories for the warrants payment and the cash account according to the Story County Ordinance. Number two, last year, I highlighted some of the audited report 2012 errors at the Commissioner Board meeting. And the Board approved the audited report without correcting any errors. Will the Commissioner seek and request the auditors David Pringle to revisit and issue the amended audit report of 2012? Third, I see that there's a fiduciary fund. Can I know what is the fund for? Name of the funds. Four, the total highway and street expenditures is $2,313,826. Compared with the revenue charges services is $101,848. Capital grant $74,293. Now, the balance of $2,137,685 is not expenditures, it's not been funded. How is this going to be funded? Fifth, can you explain why the cash balances on June 30th, 2013 in the audited report show $19,820,574, while the Treasury report at the end of that 30th of June showing $19,863,564. So there is a variance of $42,989. I'd like to know what is the difference.
Time?
Okay. All right. Just a close conclusion. I'll let submit my questions.
Time. Yes, please do.
Yeah. Submit my question to you, and I'd like to attach okay. Question. You attach these questions in the minutes. Thank you.
All right. And I'm not going to, I don't think we're going to go into any answers on these questions right now because I think it's too detailed for this meeting. Janet wants to have a conversation about that. Outside the commissioner's meeting, I think that, of course, she's entitled to do that. But I think right now is not a good time. It's just getting into too much nitty-gritty at this point in time. Mark, come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, for the record, Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident. This is discussion before possible action. Okay, we got this is the independent auditor's report on the financial statements from Story County. Looking at the audit and as far as compliance and NRS, of course the auditor has every right to take what's given to him and have a good look at it. Maybe not checking deep enough into compliance. The auditor was not told that Story County's debt management committee failed to meet as required in February. That's by statute. A meeting this February was not put on the agenda, so that's lack of compliance right there.
Mark.
Mark! You're into my time.
Talk to us. If you want to talk to the audience, then go outside.
I was referencing the auditor here today, present for David A. Pringle. Please let the motion to approve this include the name David A. Pringle. Going on. Okay, the report by the county given to the auditor, Board of County Commissioners appoints the governing board of VCTC, county personnel provides services at county budgeting. I'm referring to page number 29. It goes on to say VCTC has elected to be reported as a major fund special revenue in county financial statements. There's nothing on record to support that. And as a matter of fact, as of the 7th of November 2013, Department of Taxation has the Story County Parks and Recs Board listed as a separate entity under the name Virginia City Convention and Visitors Authority. VCCVA. Now, how would Department of Taxation get this name, and why would they be using it as of last week?
All right, time. Sit down.
Okay.
Thank you.
I agree. Anyone else? 3 minutes is up.
Chris. I don't think that anyone needs to respond to any of it.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. Witten, Mr. Maddox, I work at TRI and for Mr. Gilman. However, I'm here today on my own behalf and not as their representative in any way. Just as a member of the public, I wanted to say that I feel this audit is superbly done. In my prior career, I had the opportunity to run across a number of audits, a number of auditors, a number of CPAs, both private sector and commercial sector. I think this is superb. The audit was done in accordance with not only ethical standards of auditors, Mr. Chairman, but also legal standards on audits of government entities. And it specifically includes audits of all the different funds and all that. So I think it'd be, at least for me, be appropriate for the commission to thank and compliment Mr. Gallagher and his work, because this is a vote of confidence on him and his department and his record keeping, as well as Mr. Pringle. And I think Mr. Pringle's recommendations were very clear, very to the point on significant items. And I just remember the public, thank you for this level of transparency. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chris. It's nice to hear some nice words out of come forward. Mr. Beach.
That's all right. I've dealt with budgets for over 50 years, and
going through the one that he presented. It's the sorriest budget I've ever seen. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else got anything? I'll look for a motion then.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move to approve the audit as presented, and by adding conditions to the approval, to be approved by the County Commission, these conditions would be as follows: that the staff fully comply with recommendation 2, 3, 4, and 5 from the auditor's report on prior year's recommendation, as listed on page 79 of the report. 2, that the staff fully comply with each and every recommendation in the auditor's report on current year recommendations, as listed on page 80 of the report. 3, that the county manager and or comptroller provide a report to the commission at our next regularly scheduled meeting on specifically how staff will implement these recommendations. And 4, most important, that the at the conclusion of each quarter for the fiscal year, the comptroller will issue a summary report to the commissioners to be presented at the second commission meeting following the fiscal quarter, providing a summary by department and by fund, all specific accounts where actual expenditures have exceeded approved appropriations, and an explanation from the department or fund manager as to the corrective actions being taken.
I think he wants to respond to that, Dave.
I like it.
Yeah. You're okay?
Yeah. Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, with that motion.
Okay. All right. I'll second Commissioner Gilman's motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you very much, you. We'll move on to item number 13, CDBG. Sherry.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Sherry Nevin, and I come before you today with recommendations for the 2014 Community Development Block Grant Program. I'll refer to it from this point as CDBG. Two public meetings have been held. We came before you on October 15th to seek input on potential projects for this grant cycle. I also attended the October 17th Planning Commission meeting in Mark Twain, where we again solicited comments from the public, and we received no requests for funding. We have reviewed the four proposals that we received, and I come before you today with three recommendations. We're eligible to submit two applications, and then we've got a third that we can sponsor because it's benefiting not only Story County but all of the rural counties. So the first project is the Canyon General Improvement District project. This would be funding to construct a new utility building that would contain a training room and laboratory. The lab would provide an area for the utility to perform necessary testing of water and wastewater and would save the district approximately $10,000 a year. There is a possibility that this lab could be utilized by Story County as well. They're seeking $200,000 in grant funds with a $50,000 match. Keep in mind that there's no requirement for a match on these grants, but it does look good when you go to the committee and show them that you have some capital to commit to the project as well. So that's the first project. We have worked with Canyon General Improvement District in the past with CDBG grants, and they're very versed in the processes, and I'd be comfortable working with them again this year. The second project we're proposing is for the Story County Senior Center. As you know, the Senior Center here in Virginia City serves not only Virginia City, but the Virginia City Highlands, Mark Twain, and Gold Hill. While these communities on a whole are not eligible for CDBG, seniors are considered a limited clientele and are therefore eligible. The Senior Center is more than 30 years old, and some of the kitchen facilities are in aging and in need of repair. They also provide meals to homebound residents, and they use a van that they have for that, and the van that they have is, of course, outdated as well, and the repairs are becoming very costly. The ongoing maintenance and repair of the kitchen facilities and the van cuts into their annual budget, Consequently, there are not adequate funds to operate the facility and performance basic mission. Therefore, they are requesting $25,000 to replace an aging refrigerator for approximately $5,000, two of the stoves they have there at another $5,000, the countertops in the kitchen for about $7,000, and finally for repairs and maintenance of the van, which would total about $8,000. The third project that we're looking at would be sponsorship for RSVP. That's the Retired Senior Volunteer Program Respite Care Project. We are currently sponsoring a grant for them this year, and it's been a great working relationship so far. They are requesting $60,000 in order to sustain and grow their respite care program, which is providing regular breaks several times per week for 2 or 4 hours or more to senior caregivers who provide 24/7 care for elder family members. These are the three projects that we're proposing for this year. Upon your approval of these recommendations, I will work with these entities on the full grant application, which is due to the state on January 7, 2014. The grant applications will be heard by CDBG Advisory Committee toward the end of March, and funding will commence around July 1st of 2014. I will be sitting on the CDBG Advisory Board this year. Therefore, I will not be able to vote on any projects which impact Story County, but we'll do our best to, you know, provide as much background information before we get into the process. So if you have any questions, please let me know.
Sure, you might clarify that while we normally get two requests, the nature of the RSVP request provides for some sort of exemption?
Yeah, because they are serving not only our county, but they're serving various counties, and it's, again, they're targeting that senior clientele, so that's a limited clientele, and basically we can, we're sponsoring it for them. It's not taking up one of our two applications that we get. So this is a third standalone, not cutting into anything that we can get.
And I believe is your recommendation to go ahead and prioritize as the first request Lockwood
Canyon General Improvement District. That would be number one, and number two would be the Story County Senior Center project. We did receive another, as you will remember from the October 15th meeting, from the Lockwood Community Corporation to do some work on the hillside there. I've worked with those folks for probably around 6 months now, and I just don't think that CDBG is the proper fit for their project. I talked to the folks down at the state that's gone before them before. Similar projects was not funded. So I'm working with them to see if we can maybe use some county resources and volunteer sources to help them with some of the projects they have down there. So,
yeah, comment on that. I do believe it's well worth reviewing. And although we can't submit it with this particular program, that we have an ongoing research and review, see if we can do some things. They definitely have a need.
Yeah, and I've put them in place with folks like NDEP as well. They've got a couple of different grant programs, so hopefully we can help them with some resolve going forward.
Okay. Very good. Comments? Anyone? Okay, looking for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the Community Development Block Grant Program as presented by Ms. Nevin.
Okay.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Item 14. Nicole, if you're up again, you have any more to would like to run on that? Not that we have a lot of answers for you.
Nicole, Highlands resident. This is on the agenda as a result of my request to understand what the status of the quarter cent sales tax was, and also to find out and understand why the conditions of that interlocal that I believe was material to the vote was not included on the ballot, nor was the financial impact, which I believe by NRS you need to have a description, an argument for, an argument against, and a financial impact.
Yeah, I have to agree with your concerns on this. Obviously, if you look at all of the dates and things, none of us were around. So,
and it's never come up at any of the VMT meetings, and I've, of course, haven't even been on that for a year yet, so, and we haven't had a meeting in a month, but we're waiting to hear back from the chairman, and we do have some conflicting dollar amounts on that, and I am very concerned, so my recommendation at this point would be to bring this back up onto the agenda when we have some more information. I don't know whether we want to, if we continue it, I don't know a date to put on there, probably just what do you recommend on that, Pat? You have some feelings on that?
Well, yeah, I don't know. As you referenced, I sent an email out on November 1st.
Yeah.
There had been some prior phone conversations and actually a meeting with the chairman and I believe yourself a while back in which we signaled our desire to begin to draw. You know, I guess a couple things I want to clarify is, you know, this is this whole interlocal agreement and exchange status of the quarter cent, regardless of how the election should or should not have been structured, which, you know, I'm not knowledgeable of, that would probably be a Vanessa question from the Registrar of Voters and the Secretary of State. But this whole interlocal agreement was, as was the rail bond issue, was crafted in such a way to allow us to address rail interests in Virginia City Gold Hill.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, this board's action several months back, we took responsibility and custody back of the Gold Hill Depot, which more and more is proving as a viable venue that we hope that we'll be able to, you know, potentially expend some of the funds. It is my intent, once we get some clarity as to cost estimates on that project and any other rail projects that may be of interest, exclusive and inclusive of the tunnel, that we put the Rail Commission on notice that we desire a draw of X amount. In the meantime, I believe Mr. Gallagher is working with Nick Providente, who's Carson's equivalent to Hugh, counterpart, in terms of getting an accounting, because it's not very hard for us to track this quarter cent from the period of time referenced in the interlocal agreement. Nick and the Rail Commission, exclusive of you, seem to be focused on one condition of the interlocal agreement, which was a gesture of we'll give you $250,000. That's all good and fine. We haven't drawn on that yet because, as you know more than anybody, and this would probably be better addressed by the Rail Commission, their finances are probably concerning. You know, I would say.
Oh yeah, I know they're horrible.
So, is the money there for us to draw on? Whether it's $250,000 or $950,000, I've heard various public comments, including, well, it depends on the sale of the building in Draco and everything else. But you know, we do intend to draw once we have the projects identified. It's just we don't have clarity right now on the Gold Hill Depot or any other projects that may come in the line. You know, I think also, and I don't see Tom here, I think it's important to note that, you know, portions, as I recall, I think of the bond money, although I can't swear to that, were expended to finalize the design. I mean, this is the engineering terminology, I believe, is 90% designed, excuse me. You know, it's on the shelf and ready to go. But you also have to have a need by the operator of the rail. And right now, with his recent investments, which he's done a magnificent job with the passenger depot just north of where he has stopped, you know, I'm not sure that there is a pressing need for the tunnel, even though there are a number of compelling reasons to do that, and I'm sure Mr. Marshall and many others could, you know, could eloquently voice. So I would tell you, you know, the status of the quarter cent, put on the ballot appropriately or not, would be more of a Registrar of Voters question and sex state. The status of the quarter cent sales tax is a great question that we're endeavoring to try to get an answer to, so, and we'll continue to.
Well, my recommendation then at this point would be to take no action on this at this point and then bring it back up again when we get some information. There's no point continuing to a certain date because we may or may not know anything.
I'd appreciate, per Nicole's prior testimony, I'd like to see staff develop for all of us an executive summary. Of what has happened, what's gone on, and where we are, so we can be more conversant with the whole issue.
I
appreciate you bringing it up.
Us.
I think it's timely, and I need to know more.
I still have a couple of things.
Go ahead.
One thing is, and I worked on the team that went out to do the campaigning for passing this. And part of the basis and the legs of that campaign was that the money would stay in Story County. We were very clear, we were very explicit with that. We had no knowledge of that interlocal agreement. The interlocal agreement was not attached to the June agenda, which, in which meeting the interlocal agreement was approved. So it may be a public document as stated here, but no effort was made to make it public, such as putting it on the agenda. So that's one thing. The second thing is, to the extent that that agreement says that the commission reserves the rights to keep our monies if they have need of it elsewhere. And you just said, Pat, they are in need of money. So the possibility and high likelihood is we won't see that money.
Just for a second, Nicole. I think the verbiage in there said on a month-to-month basis, on a given month, not in its entirety.
Yeah, to notify us as well. It had notification.
They had to notify us, and they could only go like 1 month at a time. They couldn't take whatever the reserve was, and the way I read it.
Okay. Do you think, Marshall, that we're going to see any of that money, honestly?
Well, I do, because I, for one, share your concern on this quarter cent tax as well.
Okay.
Going back one thing on the fiscal note, there wouldn't have been any fiscal impact because it was simply a rollover of a 25-year tax that had already been in place. So going forward, this was a continuation of a tax that had already been in place, so there wouldn't be any fiscal impact.
I understand that, but we took a bond out. That's a fiscal impact,
well,
right?
I agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah, because I worked with you on this.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
And so, I'm equally as concerned with this.
Okay. So my issue is, I don't know that what I told the voters was that this is for the tunnel, this is for, Virginia City to bring tourists in here to make it wonderful, that the money would stay in Story County, come to find out in the interlocal, that may not happen. There wasn't a disclosure publicly, because folks don't have time to come to these meetings, that we floated a bond for it. And if it continues that we don't get the rail money, we will be paying interest on a bond that we aren't using. And so that is a fiscal impact.
Sure.
Okay. And to the extent that the answer in this documented thing that you sent me, Pat, says, were they aware of the withholding provision when the renewal for this tax appeared November 10th? Why, and your answer is, while staff cannot specifically answer this question, a presumed answer might be yes. That is a disingenuous response, Pat, because even I can get a copy of the ballot. So it's not a presumed answer. The answer is an unqualified no. And the interlocal agreement was not made public because it was never published to the public. And that's the issue I have. And Lance, that is why when the TRI land swap thing came up, I came up here and I said, I would like for us to see any interlocal or other agreements that are made by you on our behalf and someone else be published so that we have the opportunity to see it. Had I seen the interlocal during this time, we might have had a different approach to that campaign. But I have promised, we promised, that the money would stay in Story County, and that's not true.
But so far, it's still in Story County. They haven't utilized any of these.
I get it, but I have less optimism, Marshall, than you do. Thank you.
And can I ask a question and make a comment as well? I guess my first question is, and I'd invite an answer, I'd like to know what your definition of published is. You've used that word repeatedly. You know, how would you prefer to see agreements like this published?
As of an attachment to the agenda prior to the vote being taken, much like you've done with other things, and you've gotten, it was loose and it got tight, now it's tighter still.
And are you stating back in June of 2010?
Yeah.
There was no interlocal agreement provided to the public?
Correct. There was no attachment.
Okay. I'll research that. That's news
to me. I just did. There is no attachment to that agenda, okay, which is where I get all of my information and with the Internet. So okay. It okay. Didn't.
I'm not arguing with you. No, I'm saying that is information I don't recall and will need to research right. Independent of that. Then my other comment, Mr. Chairman, is keep in mind that even were the Rail Commission to go through proper need and notification on a monthly basis that they need monies to cover shortfalls, oftentimes those shortfalls greatly still benefit Virginia City and Story County in the fact that during the summer months, you know, essentially every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, somewhere between 100 and 210 passengers ride up here on those trains.
So but they were before. This was specifically to bring people into town so and enhance that experience from the old depot to the proposed new depot. That's what I campaigned for, specifically. The tunnel and bringing it home.
Okay. You have something out here?
I've just got a little update, Mr. Chairman. When we saw this, I went to Muckle Anderson, who provides the audit for the Virginia City Rail Commission. And I asked one of their partners there for their statement for the period in June 30th, 2013. They have filed for an extension. During that period of time, I gave her the excerpt of what I saw was the option tax plus the $250,000 stipend that they were going to give us, and the interlocal agreement, and she did not have that information. It was not provided to her. So when they start sending out their confirmations for their audited, for what is owed to them, whatever, to the various facilities, which are for Story County, then the detail will be there, and so at least for the period into 2013, it's going to reflect their opinion as to whether or not what is owed on that stuff. Our deal is it's about 850.
Okay, we've got to get going here pretty quick.
I know.
And then a little break.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Thank you. So we'll just come on up, Dale. Quickly.
I listened to Mr. Gilman's input, and I liked it, but are we going to go back and find out if what we voted on is what happened, or if it was all illegal, all this money that was collected illegally, because it wasn't by the ballot question?
I think we just answered your question that we don't know right now.
I know, but is Mr. Gilman, he wanted somebody to find out all these things, but is that one of the issues he's going to find out?
That's what we're going to do, Dale. We're going to find out.
Are you? And that's going to be made available to the public, so I'll know that my quarter cent that I paid on my last four trucks.
Yep.
Thank you. I'll go. Okay. Happy.
All right.
You bought a truck in Story County?
What?
You bought a truck in Story County?
No, I bought four of them on the Internet, and I go to Carson City to register them, and I paid my sales tax right there.
Oh.
Story County.
Okay.
Address.
Great. Let's get a motion to continue this and... let's motion to take no action.
Yeah.
At this right. point, we'll get the background.
Mr. Chairman, move to take no action on the item 14.
Okay.
Give a second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, recess, potty breaks.
10 minutes.
And stuff like that, and then we'll get back up here. And,
Okay.
Remember, if you're not in this for recess, you'll be paid.